We'll bow together in a word of prayer and just commit our way to the Lord for tonight. Our God and Father, we still our hearts before thy holy presence. And we come as always through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Saviour, God's beloved Son, the one who is seated on high at the right hand of the Father. We praise thee for the ascension of Christ to glory, where he now appears in the presence of God for us, where he makes continual intercession on behalf of his people. We rejoice tonight that we have a man in the glory, one who is acquainted with all our ways, one who became like unto us. We praise thee for the incarnation, that day when God became man and dwelt among us. And we do rejoice in the whole purpose and plan of God in the incarnation, for Christ Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. And we thank thee for his redeeming work that he accomplished in his life. See tonight that he lived on behalf of a perfect life, keeping the law of God that we had broken. We thank thee for the obedience of the Savior, and how that he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. When he came to the end of his ministry, we do rejoice that he went willingly to the cross of Calvary. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem, your word tells us. And we thank thee that he died, the just for the unjust, that we might be brought to God. We praise thee tonight for so many in this meeting that know the Lord as their Savior. You can look back to that day when they were converted to Christ and saved by grace. O happy day that fixed our choice on thee, our Savior and our God. And we pray for your blessing to attend this company of ladies as they've come together this evening. We thank thee for the arrangement of it. We thank thee for your presence with us now. And we do pray that the Lord's presence will be something that we'll know and sense, that the God of glory will come into this meeting, that Christ will be central in everything that is done. Bless the hymns that are sung together. Remember Joy, she comes to minister in song, and we pray for Avril, very particularly as she comes to relate her testimony, that the Lord will be with her, and may great grace be given to her, and that as she stands here, that she'll know the Lord's help, the enabling. Give you the praise for bringing her to this day and for her continuance to this day, because we know it has been by the grace of God. So may your presence fill this room and go with us in Jesus' name. Amen. 439, page 353. I have a shepherd, one I love so well, how he has blessed me tongue. Can never tell on the cross he suffered, shed his blood and died, that I might ever in his love confide, following Jesus every day by day. The joy getting to know an old veteran missionary by the name of Dorrie Gunning. Some of you may have heard about her. She's in the glory today, but I didn't get to know her until about her, because she used to come around churches years and years ago to speak about her missionary work, and she was a missionary to the land of Brazil. Dorrie lived long, she had a good life, and this was one of her favorite hymns, and we used to sing it to her, with her, not just when I was by myself, but whenever a few of us went to visit her in the nursing home. I'm going to sing it tonight unto the Lord's praise and glory. 439. Let's stand to sing.
Our Lord,
very glad to have Mrs. Joy Boyd with us tonight. I'm going to ask Joy to come and sing for us just now. Thank you.
The privilege of praying as much as all the Lord can do about it. Sometimes God brings us law to get us to pray, doesn't he? Sometimes he brings us law and he brings us through the trials and he brings us through the times of testing so we can get the word of God. And you know, I'm so glad that I have found Jesus Christ as well. Again, you'll know this and sing it together with children, I'm sure you'll know it. And I really do trust that my voice goes out and I'm so thrilled for almost a week. It's not so anymore, but I think it's getting up the ghost. So, send me a prayer, but I'm sure you'll know it in your hand. I pray that even as I sing, I will minister to your heart. And in your heart, everything that you need, come into the Lord.
Came through trial and difficulty. Whenever he was a young man, he had trained to be a teacher. He got engaged to be married. And before the wedding day, the wife that he was to marry, she died tragically in an accident. And so he was robbed of his future at that time. But that was the very thing that brought him to trust in Christ the Savior. He then emigrated to Canada. He fell in love again. And you know, the same thing happened before the wedding day. His wife-to-be was drowned in an accident. So he knew what it was to be in sorrow. His mother was back here in Northern Ireland. She was ill. and he sat down one day and wrote a poem to encourage his mother. Hadn't seen her for 10 years. And that poem is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. It's never written as a hymn, but it found its way into the hymnology of today. And it's been a great blessing. Thank you, Joy, for ministering in song, reminding us that our burdens are lifted at Calvary. There's another man sitting at the back, I should have mentioned, Johnny. He's doing the sound, so it's not that the women can't do the sound, but it's their night off. And then there's another man, and he's away up in the far end. And we were able to get this quickly organized so that we could broadcast the meeting tonight, and people that couldn't get out can listen in at home on Sermon Audio, and his name is Paul. And someone told him, Paul, if you come to the meeting, you have to put a wee frock on and a wee beret. So he said, I'll stay away up there out of the road. And that's where he is. I said, Paul, you can stay for tea. He says, I couldn't even do that. So, but maybe he'll get something to eat. Just to tell you that there is supper provided. And this is a night where we're giving our ladies a night off. They do so much catering through the year. So it was decided to have a supper served to you ladies. And that will be done just over in the fellowship area. You can use the fellowship area. You can come back into this room, just wherever you can get a seat. And we've got outside caterers, Paul and his group are coming in to feed you sumptuously tonight. So I don't know whether you've eaten much or not, but there's a good meal then on for you after this meeting is over. So we welcome everyone, all the ladies that are here, from the oldest. I didn't mean you, I was going to say, I was just from the oldest to the youngest, it was just an expression. The youngest is at the back. Something happened very special in our home on Monday. Well, not in our home, it happened in Antrim. And Rebecca had a wee girl, and she's called her Susanna. So Susanna's 2 days old, and she's here tonight. Be able to tell her when she grows up, the very first ladies meeting you went to, you were 2 days old, and Avril gave her testimony. So that'll be good memories for her, though she'll not remember anything about it. But let me say that we're delighted to have Avril. She'll be coming shortly to give her testimony. We're delighted to have Joy. We're delighted to have all that are visiting. Some have travelled a wee distance to be here. Understand that Coleraine ladies meeting have come down to be with us tonight, and we really appreciate that. And we want to thank our pianist and our organist for supplying the music this evening. And I just want to mention, Thursday the 16th, that's tomorrow week, there's a man by the name of Fabio Marr. Now, you know that that's not a name that belongs to this part of the world. Fabio Marr is from Brazil, and he's from a little place called Labria. Many, many years ago, Fred Orr, a missionary, went out to Brazil, brought his young wife with him. And in those days, it took 6 weeks just to get to Brazil. And then it took another 6 weeks to get up the Amazon to where the missionaries were. And it was on that second part of the journey, going up the rivers of the Amazon, that Fred's wife took very ill. And she took a fever. And within a week, she died and was in eternity. And on the same day, because of all the heat and that kind of thing, they had to bury her, and they buried her in a little place called Labria. And it was just a remote town on the side of the river. And now, today, there is a thriving church there. And this man is the pastor of it, and he's coming to speak to us. And Victor Maxwell is going to interpret for him. So if you're free tomorrow week, Thursday the 16th, you'll be very welcome to join with us. And the only other thing to say is that December, every Sunday night in December, is a special meeting with our congregation, our choirs and so forth taking part, and you'll be very, very welcome. Now we're going to sing 645. You'll know from the testimony, if you read the little invitation leaflet, that's it there, that was given out, that Avril has been through great trial in her life. And she's going to tell us something about that tonight. And we do rejoice that we have one that we can turn to in our times of greatest need. And this hymn asks the question, is there a heart or bound by sorrow? Is there a life weighed down by care? Come to the cross, each burden bearing, all your anxiety, leave it there. And no matter what background you've come from, no matter what your condition of life is, your circumstances, whatever they might be, you can come to the Lord. And you can bring your burden to him. All your anxiety, all your care, thank God, you can bring it to the mercy seat. And you can leave it there. Never a burden he cannot bear. And we're back to think about our friend. Never a friend like Jesus. Think of the words as we stand to sing. Thank you. This ladies' conference was planned, I suppose, with a couple of reasons in mind, and one would be that perhaps some ladies would come who know not the Saviour, and something that will be said, sung, or done tonight will speak to your heart. We trust that will be the case. And the other reason is for encouragement. We're living in days of great discouragement, but I know that as you listen to her sister's testimony, as you hear how the grace of God has brought her through, that you'll be encouraged, that you'll be strengthened. You'll be able to identify with what is being said and be truly blessed and challenged in your soul. Just before Avril comes to give her testimony, Joy is going to sing once more. And I'm not going to sit here or here. I'm going to sort of disappear to the back somewhere. All right? Good to have you, Avril. The Lord bless you when you come. Thanks again, Joy.
Thank you. Really starting here at the point where the Lord Jesus has had an extremely busy day with his disciples, teaching, healing, and he's exhausted. So we're just going to read a few verses, Mark chapter 4, verse 35. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So just for a few moments, I'm going to put that little reading to one side. And I have been asked tonight to just share a word of testimony with you. Just a little bit about my life. And you know, ladies, it's lovely to have a testimony to share. A testimony is really just a story of what God has meant to me and how God has helped me. And I suppose the very place to start when you come to give your testimony is to take you right back to the very beginning. And for me, that beginning was in a little town called Castlederg in County Tyrone. And I was born there in 1961, so you can all start using your fingers now, because I've lost count. But that's when I was born. I was born into a family with four children. So I had an older sister, a younger sister, and a younger brother. And I suppose, ladies, we all say that, yes, we've had a lovely family, a lovely upbringing. We were blessed, and I was all of those things. We had a lovely mum and dad who cared for us very much, and they were good people. They were looked up to in the community. They went to church. They did all the right things. But in 1970, there was a gospel hemp mission came to Castlederg, and the evangelist was the Reverend Kenneth Elliott. I vaguely remember Mum and Dad going to that mission, but I'm so glad that at that mission Mum and Dad came to the point where they were taught from God's Word that good works, being a good person, going to church, was not enough to be saved and to be guaranteed a place in heaven. At that time, I was very aware of Mum and Dad being saved, and we were taken along to church then very, very faithfully. And in 1974, I came under the same conviction of sin as Mum and Dad had. And it really was on a Sunday morning service. The Reverend John Hanna was preaching a sermon, and it was about heaven. And as I listened to that sermon that morning, I became so aware that I was not ready. Should the Lord come back, as he will, or should something happen to me and I was taken to meet him? As I listened to the words of the closing hymn, When the roll is called up yonder, I knew without a doubt that I was not ready. And as I sat there with tears running down my face as the congregation sang that hymn, and I stayed behind that morning, and the Reverend Hanna read and he prayed with me the sinner's prayer. I can always remember looking at him after that prayer and saying to him, Are you sure that God has accepted me? And he took me to that lovely little verse in the Bible that says, All that the Father giveth me cometh to me, and him that comes to me I will in no wise cast out. And that was the start of my walk with the Lord. In January 1980, I left Castlederg and I went up to start my general nurse training in the city hospital. January 1983, I qualified as a staff nurse and I got my first post there in a paediatric ward. And then about 18 months later, around May 1984, I think it was, I went across to Jubilee Maternity and undertook my midwifery training. And got qualified and got a staff nurse's post in Jubilee. March 1987, when I was quite happily working as a staff midwife, I was asked would I go back to paediatrics due to a staff problem. So back I went, back to AVA 3 where I had started. Wasn't quite sure why, but when I could look back on it now, I could see God's hand guiding. When I got back to paediatrics, the weeks became months, and there was no sign of going back to maternity. At that time, I was working with a lovely girl who was leaving, and she was going to Jordanstown to do her health visiting training. And the more I talked to her, the more I felt that that was a course that I would love to do. So I went ahead in the meantime and applied to Jordanstown to do that course. Then a few weeks later, there was one night I was in charge and I had a very sick little baby. And I phoned for a doctor to come over. And this young guy came into the clinical room and his name was Paul Wheeling. I very quickly realised that I had met Paul on a previous occasion through a friend called Walter Boyd, who was a Christian doctor as well. But Paul had grown a beard in the meantime, which made him a little bit more unrecognisable. But there he was, and you know, that was the start of a friendship. In the meantime, we were good friends for 5 months. And at the end of 5 months, he plucked up the courage to ask me out, and that was August 1987. By that stage, I had been accepted to go to Jordanstown to do my health visiting course, and there was only one big interview left to do, and that was the one to get the secondment from the Eastern Health Board. But of course, that morning, Paul promised me that he would be up. I had a little house that I shared in the Lisbon Road. He worked in the city hospital, and he would be there to take me for that interview. This was the interview that people normally would have failed on and maybe had to go back a second time. And I was so, so nervous. And I watched the clock and Paul never came. In the meantime, Doreen came in, and she was a community midwife that I shared the house with. And she said, well, I'll run you out to Jordanstown. Well, I knew by that point, there was really no point. I was probably half an hour late. So I found my way eventually to the room where I was meant to be interviewed. I was late and I got called in. And I thought, here we go. So I sat down and the first question the lady said to me was, after I stopped apologising, she said, we've just had your boyfriend on the phone. And I sort of did a little smile and thought, well, yes, he was my boyfriend. But she said, well, there was a bit of a drama on the way to get you, and there was an elderly gentleman in the car had taken on well, and he came across them, and he stayed with them, and he did this, and he did that. And anyhow, Avril, we really don't have a lot of time here, so it was nice to meet you, and on you go. And I got accepted, which was brilliant. So that started, the course started in 1988, October 88, and I just got qualified before getting married in August 1989. Paul, on the other hand, he was pursuing a career in surgery. So his working life was extremely busy. When we got married in August 89, we set up our first home, Glengormley, just outside Belfast, and I got a job in Glengormley Health Centre, working as a health visitor in that area. And I was so glad when I looked back and I could see that God had opened that door for me to do this training, because I now had a job where I only had to work Monday to Friday, and I had no long 12-hour shifts, I had no night duty, no evenings, no weekends, which was great. In those first years of married life, while Paul pursued his study and then I worked as a health visitor, we had 3 children. Hannah is now almost 26, Matthew is 25, and Sam is 21. So life was busy. We continued working. We had a lovely little family life. Paul was very happy doing what he was doing in spite of all the studying, the long hours, the weekends on call, and so on. Over the next few years, there was the possibility of having to go out of Northern Ireland for a year due to his job. Most of the doctors would have gone to Canada and America, and we sort of had accepted that that was possibly where we would end up. But I remember one day, coming up towards the end of, and I was in probably about 6 or 7 months into my pregnancy with Samuel. And Paul had been at a conference in England, and he came home, and the minute he came through the door, he came in to me and he said, "Avril, I met the most amazing surgeon today, and he's from Auckland in New Zealand, and he is really keen to pursue the type of research that I'm doing into developing new ways of doing colostomies for people." And I thought that sounded really good. New Zealand just had that appeal to me that America had. And do you know why? Because I got to drive on the same side of the road. So it was great. And then I said to Paul, I think I said something about, well, when would they be expecting us there? And he said, well, you know, in Northern Ireland, the doctors start February and go through to August. But in New Zealand, they start January to June. And I said, but Samuel's due, or the baby's due on the 28th of December. And he said, I would all sort it. I phoned Mr. Parker on the way home, who was my obstetrician. And he said, you're going in on the 15th of December at 9 a.m. in the morning, and you're having an elective cesarean section. And that was exactly how it happened. I was on the edge of the bed having an epidural at 9 o'clock, and Samuel entered the world. And all five of us were on the plane to Auckland on the 9th of January the following year. But when we did get there and got settled in, we had a lovely year in Auckland. We made lots of friends. We had a lovely small church fellowship. And we came back to Northern Ireland 1997. And all was left now was for Paul to apply for a consultant's post, a general surgeon with an interest in bowel cancer. There was a post that became available in Alton McGelvin in Londonderry, and he went over, did the interview, and got the job. So July 2000, we left Glengormley. We got our house sold, and we moved across to Limavady, where we bought a home. Got the children all sorted for new school in September. We had to get into a new church, make new friends. Everything was new. But the good thing was I was able to leave work at that point and just stay at home. I could honestly say, ladies, that the next 18 months in Limavady was a time when I look back now and I think that was probably my happiest years. I loved being at home. I just love being a stay-at-home mommy, not having to worry about the stresses of getting out in the morning and getting home again. And Paul was loving his new post. And the children were happy in school. We were making friends. And it just seemed as if nothing could ever go wrong. But isn't it true sometimes that when God has us on that mountaintop, we never for one minute consider that things can change? But you know, our lives did change, and God brought us down from that mountaintop down into a series of little storms, if you put it that way, down into a valley, all within a period of only 6 months. I suppose it started with me going out for dinner the 15th of December 2001, getting ill, having a really rough night, ending up in hospital the next morning, and having to go back in again for further surgery 6 weeks later due to early ovarian cancer. But you know, again, we got through that experience. We knew God's help and we knew God's grace. As I was recovering from that second operation, it would have been the end of March. Paul had to leave again to go across to England, and it was during the school holidays. So Mummy up in Castledare suggested we would come to her for the 5 days that Paul was out of the country. I still wasn't driving, so he drove us up, dropped us off, and off he went. During that week, my older sister Linda, she had a little boy Nathan, who was 9 years at the time. He was coming to spend a few days with Mum as well. There was a bit of excitement. All the cousins were going to be together in Granny's house, you can just imagine, and they were really looking forward to it. Now, Linda had said to me at some stage prior to that, I'm just not sure, that they had had Nathan with the doctor on a few occasions, He had been losing weight. He had been lethargic, very little energy, and drinking constantly. But nobody seemed to be overly concerned. And I remember that week watching Nathan playing with Matthew and Hannah and Samuel. And the only thing I noticed was he was always drinking. I remember that week Dr. Wilson calling out, he was mummy's minister, and us talking about Nathan. And again, he didn't even have any concerns. I went back home on the Friday. Paul came back, took us back to Limababy. And I think it was the following Monday or Tuesday night, I just can't remember, Linda phoned me at bedtime to say that Nathan had got up that morning with very low energy, and they decided enough was enough, and they took him to the Erin Hospital. Throughout the day, they ran a series of tests, and that evening he had a brain scan, and that showed up that Nathan had a malignant brain tumour. He went in for surgery within a day or two, and 3 weeks later Nathan had passed away. That again was like another storm just hitting us. And you started to wonder, what is God doing? And why is he allowing these things to happen? Those were very, very difficult days. The difficulty of not knowing what to say and what to do and how to support. And seeing a family just broken apart by the death of a child. But we got through May. The funeral was the start of May, and we come on into June, and the schools were breaking up at the end of June, and we had a holiday booked to go to the Lake District for a week. We decided that we would go ahead. We felt that we really needed that break. We needed that time with the children as well. And I remember in that week in the Lake District watching Paul, and he just was not his usual self. He seemed to be resting more, sitting more, whereas normally he would have been out doing all the active stuff with the children. I think on an occasion I did say to him about it, and he just said, I seem to have been struggling with irritable bowel syndrome since taking up my new post. He said, up to this point, it was always settled when I got a weekend away or I got time off. But for some reason, on this holiday, it's not settling. And it must have caused some concern, because I remember him going back to work the following Monday, which was now into about the second week of July 2002. And being somewhat burdened and saying to him, would you not go and get it checked out? And he always laughed. He said, how could I? I know every doctor and every nurse in that place. But on the Tuesday or the Wednesday morning after returning, he left very, very early to go to work that morning. And he just told me that there was something that he needed to see to. I just assumed it was something like a ward, teaching ward round or something. But I came downstairs a couple of hours later, and I just felt this need that I needed to go upstairs and pray for him. And I did that. And I just prayed that morning that God would give Paul the courage to go and get this problem checked out. When I came back downstairs, I was making a coffee when the telephone rang. And it was the sister from the day procedure unit in Altmagelvin. She came on the phone and she said, Avril, we've got Paul here in our unit this morning. He's been very, very brave, and he's had a colonoscopy done. And I just thought, that's just what I had prayed about. But she said, he's not feeling great. He's got cramps and he's got discomfort. And we just wondered, would you come and drive him back from Londonderry back to Limavady? And I said, no problem. We'll be with you in half an hour. And then there was a little pause, and she said, oh, you've got the children, of course, you've got the kids at home. And I said, yeah, they're all here, but, you know, we'll be up in no time. And then she sort of said, is there any way you could come without the children? So I got the children left off, and I just knew that something was not right. I just knew it. Nobody needed to say anything. I remember driving up the road, and I was praying that God would give me grace for whatever I was going to have to deal with. And when I got into the hospital, I just knew by the attitude of the nurses that something was not right. And when I walked into this little room, Paul was over in the corner, and Mr. Gilliland, the other surgeon, gave me a hug and he left the room. And that was when Paul told me that he had just had his colonoscopy and he had a large tumour in his bowel. And then he went and had a scan done, and that showed that the cancer had already spread and he had secondaries in his lung. At that point he was crying. And I remember saying, "But Paul, you know, we're dealing here with a 40-year-old. You know all the right people. This is your speciality. If anybody can get the right treatment for this, you can." And he just very, very honestly said to me, "Avril, if I get 10 months, that's it." Well, I have no recollection whatsoever of leaving that room that day. I can't remember going back out past the nurses. I can't remember even driving back to Limavady. But that afternoon, our minister in Glengormley had been Tom Shaw, and Tom came over, and two Christian doctors, Lindsay Wilson and Walter Boyd, came over. And you know, we talked and we cried and we prayed before we could get the grace and the courage to go round and bring the children home and break the news to them. But you know, once again, God's grace was so evident. The way he helped us was unbelievable. You know, he just gave us the strength we needed for a situation that you otherwise would never have imagined that you could have dealt with. Paul went to have a surgery, started chemotherapy on 1st of September 2002, and that chemo lasted right through until the start of June 2003. Yes, there were rough days with chemo. I'm sure most of you have known it or experienced someone with it. But again, we had to lean heavily on God's grace to get us through. The summer of 2003, Paul decided he would stop chemo and we would try an alternative treatment. We were working our way through that when, at the end of October, we started to notice a difference again in his condition. This time it was more symptoms related to the brain. Paul knew that the cancer had spread. I cared for him at home until just after Christmas that year, 2003, when he had to be admitted to Foyle Hospice. And during the 6 weeks he was in the hospice, he wrote that little book, At the Cutting Edge. It was his desire to reach people, to share his testimony. He witnessed to everybody in that unit, even when he was doing surgery before his illness, or before he went off his feet, he was still witnessing to every patient that he came across. He never missed an opportunity. But you know, in spite of our praying and our pleading and our crying, God took Paul home on the 15th of February 2004. Do you know, at that stage, it just seemed as if, like the disciples in this boat with the Lord, it felt as if we had been battered so many times, and there were so many storms, and they just seemed to come one after another. And I felt at this point in my life that the storm had really had done its worst, and it was now a valley that I was facing. You know, I was 42 and Hannah was just 11, Matthew was 10 and Samuel was 8. And I often liken it to the valley that we read about in Psalm 23 verse 4, where it says, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." And you know, ladies, I have no doubt, without a doubt tonight, that every lady sitting on these chairs tonight has at one point faced a valley or a storm. You know, storms come in all different forms. They can be storms of job loss, storms of finance, relationship storms, marital storms, children who are giving us worry, maybe wayward children, storms of depression, storms of loss. It doesn't matter what the storm is, it has an effect. And you know, 3 weeks ago, as I was outside the Monday afternoon that we were expecting the storm Ophelia, I was outside lifting tables in and chairs in and tying down a tarpaulin and lifting pots. And as I was doing that, I was thinking, if we could prepare for a storm like we prepared for this one, but you can't. You know, people would often say to me, Avril, at least you knew that you were going to lose Paul instead of maybe a sudden death. And I can see that is right. But as C.S. Lewis once said in his little book, A Grief Observed, he said, you know, you try to prepare yourself for the death of a loved one, but nothing can prepare you for the grief that follows. And that is so true. It is one of those storms that you honestly think you're never, ever going to come out of. But you know, although storms come suddenly and they're very, very severe, for many of us, we have no choice. We have to go with the storm. We can't run away from it. We have to face up to it. But isn't it lovely to know that when we're saved and we have the Lord with us, He's in our heart, we know that He's going into that storm with us, because He has said in His word, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And you know that He's there. He's in your heart and He's by your side. And you know, even though we enter the storm, we also have to endure it. And you know, that's probably the hardest part, enduring it. But again, as a Christian, what have we got in our storm that those who don't know Christ don't have? Well, first of all, we have the Lord's presence with us. And you know, storms come to the Christian. No matter how obedient we're living, how good we are, storms still come. Look at the disciples in that little boat. They even had the Lord sleeping on the back, and yet the storm still came. But it's wonderful to have Christ going through the storm with you. It's wonderful to have all His promises. Promises like I've just said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Promises like, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Just to be assured that, lo, I am with you always. He never ever leaves us alone. Yes, there are times in the storm that perhaps we don't feel He's there. The valley or the storm has become so dark and so dreary. But we need to remember that little song that says, standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's always there. You know, we have His promises, we have His presence. We have His prayers as well. Do you remember the other incident in the boat whenever the disciples were out and the Lord was on the mountain? And the disciples come into another storm and they were toiling and they were rowing. And it came to the fourth watch of the night whenever the Lord Jesus left His praying and came to them on the water. And isn't it lovely to know that God loves us so much that He is praying for us at His Father's right hand. He's making intercession. Somebody once said to me, it would be lovely if you knew Christ was in the next room to you in hospital just praying for you through your illness. And I thought, you know, He's in heaven praying for us. He never stops watching us. He never stops praying. That's how much He cares. And I know maybe somebody tonight is struggling with the question, does Jesus care? Does He really care what I'm going through? does my life matter to him? If it did, I wouldn't be in this mess. These things wouldn't be happening. You know, we have to remember that the devil is in the storm with us as well. And he's got us at our weakest point. And he's coming behind us and he's saying, you still believe that Jesus cares for you? Look what he's put you through. Look what he's doing. Look at your children. The very thing that you fear most in life is usually where the devil attacks. For some of us, it's illness. For some of us, it's bereavement. And for some of us, it's our children not following the Lord the way we would want. But you know, we've got to hang in there and we've got to trust him. When Jesus was on the water, all he had to do was speak. And the water was calm and the waves became still. And you know, that's the same Saviour that we are praying to this evening. We are asking him to undertake for us, to answer our prayers. And we have got to keep praying. We can't give up. We have got to be consistent, persistent. We've got to keep coming and bringing all to him. And you know, one day you will come out of your storm. You will come through it. It says in that little verse again, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I love that word through. That just tells me that things don't last forever. We are going to come through. When you walk through the waters, I will be with you. When you walk through the river, it will not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, it will not burn you. That word through means that there is a way out. It's not a dead end. And you know, with God by our side, his promises, his presence, his praying, his peace in our hearts that passes all understanding, one day we will come through. And we will come out the other side. Remember that lovely saying, crying endureth for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. I just pray tonight that if there's somebody here who is in a valley, that you will take courage. I hope that what I've said has been a help. I couldn't explain to you properly with words what it means to have the Lord with you in a valley, but he is so precious and he cares. Absolutely cares for us so much. And you know why we know he cares? Because he gave his only son for us to die. I mean, what love is that? And just a little word in closing to the unsaved. There maybe is somebody here tonight and you have never come to the point where you've asked the Lord Jesus into your heart. You've asked him to take away your sin. And you know, one day you will face another storm, and that'll be a storm of God's wrath. And I would just ask you tonight that you would flee to him, because he's the one who can save you. He is the rock that you can hide in, and he will protect you. You don't want to hear those words, depart from me, because I never knew you. Would you come to him tonight? What a difference it would make to you when you face your valley, or if you're not already in one. I just pray that what we've said tonight will be a blessing. And we're here tonight. If there's anybody who would like to have a quiet word, the Reverend Park is still here, and there's many of us would be happy to just talk to you and encourage you and point you to the Lord.
There's a text that's been very precious to us as a church, and it's 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. It speaks about God's grace, he giveth more grace. I'm going to sing a hymn, there's just two verses in it, and it's based on this lovely verse of scripture. It's 458, 458. He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when the labours increase. who added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. 458. Together in prayer. Our Father, we thank thee for the grace of God, the grace that saves us. We know that by grace we're saved through faith, and that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We thank thee for grace that sustains us and brings us through, as we've heard tonight. We thank thee for that sufficient grace. It's enough. We don't need anything more than that grace that God Almighty supplies. We pray that you'll bless Avril and continue to help her every day, every lonely moment. May she prove the Lord. And bless this audience of ladies, Lord. You know their needs tonight. You know their heart. You know their trials, the troubles that they're going through. One person's trial is different than another. But Lord, you see us all tonight. You know exactly where we are and what our needs are. We pray as we leave tonight that Jesus himself will draw near, that he will go with us, that he will bless us, that he will strengthen us. Accept our thanks for the good things that have been provided. Bless them too, our bodily needs. And separate us later on, the one from the other, with God's blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Just to say that tonight